We've been spending some time in Daniel 2 and have wanted to, unpack with you guys a little bit what happened over the men's R&R in dealing with AI. And so this is going to be a little bit of a blend of Daniel 2 and AI. So I'm going to try to pull this one off. I was going to do it last, 2 weeks ago when we went through Daniel 2, but I felt like we actually needed to have an understanding of Daniel 2 first. Because one thing that happens in Daniel 2, right, is that the dream is given to Nebuchadnezzar. And it's of a singular statue that represents four empires, right? And yeah, but what happens is a rock that's cut out, but not by hands, is important. And that rock not only busts the toes, but also crushes the whole statue. And so what we're going to be talking about over the next 20, 25 minutes may seem heavy, but I want to keep us in the forefront that we're looking at Christ as we're talking about heavy things. Let's pray. Well, Lord Jesus, it's apt that we spent time seeing pictures and hearing eyewitness account of your Holy Land, the place that you love, the place that 4,000 years ago you told Abram, hey, leave your kindred, leave your house, your home, everything you know, and go to the place that I will show you. And when he was there, Lord, you said to him, I will give this land to you and to your seed, Lord. And so we're a people now that have been grafted into a tree that's not 2,000 years old. It's not 4,000 years old. It goes all the way back, Lord, to the beginning. And so we marvel at what you have done and what you are doing, Lord Jesus. And we ask now just for an easy transition into a sobering topic, I guess. But we want to be those people who are alert and aware. Jesus, one of your last sermons you gave to your disciples was be dressed in readiness. Understand what's going to happen. You're not one who shies away from the hard in the midst of the fun and the good. And so I do hear, as Brett shared too, the anguish in the heart too of the commercialization of the marketing and sales that happens. And so Jesus, forgive us. forgive us. We too, in this country, we're no better off. We've commercialized in you. We've sell products in churches, and we've done the things that you were really mad at when you turned over the money changers' tables. He said, stop making my father's house a den of robbers. Make it a house of prayer to all the nations. And so, Lord, we long for that day. We pray for Israel, that she will come to know you, come to know Yeshua HaMashiach as their Messiah, Lord. Open up their eyes, Lord. Open up the eyes of the Muslims there. Lord, continue to work. And only you can bring peace between the Palestinians and the Jews. And for these things, we need you, and we need our eyes fixed on you, and we need to be a peculiar people, Lord, whose faith and trust is in the unseen one who we know and whom we love and who we give our lives for. And so we love you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Son and Holy Spirit, please teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so there is a rock that shatters Gentile empires. A month and a half ago or so, I think it was the beginning of October. It was a Friday. I was getting ready. No, I was freed up because I think it was Jared was going to preach that Sunday. And so I was doing some stuff in the office, and I checked a Christian website, and I read an article that put me on my heels, and it ruined my Friday. And the article was that somebody had asked AI, what would Charlie Kirk say to us if he was alive today? And that video was shown in multiple churches. And I just remember sitting there thinking, what just happened? So AI-generated video asking Charlie Kirk, who had been shot, what he would say to us. And I just remember I ripped off a text to Noah and Emil, and I said, we got to start talking about this. I didn't realize AI was that far out in front of us. That's kind of a thought that never even occurred to me, to ask AI, what would a dead person say to me? And so I shared a little bit with the Sunday school this morning. It's borderline Deuteronomy 18, talking to the dead, but in a virtual or computer or analytical way. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't even fit a category I had. And then all of a sudden, I started paying attention to the AI articles popping up. And so with the guys at the men's R&R, I read a couple articles, and we discussed it with all the guys. And it actually took over the entire Saturday night time. And so here is a brief summation of what we talked about, and I felt compelled to share it with the y'all and especially for our kids. So I think there's a positive way to use AI. I'm not against AI. So what I'm not saying is that we need to bust all of our phones and computers, and like, it doesn't work that way, right? AI is already out, it's launching, it's not going back. But how do we navigate this? And I feel like there are certain churches that are making statements that make me scared inside, because they don't show a depth of asking the Lord, actually just going out ahead of the Lord. One statement I'll read is like, well, the Holy Spirit can use anything. So that justifies whatever we do. It's very presumptuous. And that's one of the things that's very concerning for me, is David warns us about presumptuous sins. That's where you presume upon the Lord. But first, just so you know where we're at in this country, this is an article from The Blaze. As the AI arms race continues at breakneck pace, the United States is stepping up its game to stay on the cutting edge. So empires are going to have to be on the cutting edge of this if they want to maintain a high position in the world. Does that make sense? So our country has to be putting lots of money into AI, because we're going to be fighting against China, India, others. And so this is part of our political system's mindset, right? So on Monday, 11/24, the White House announced the creation of the Genesis Mission under the purview of the Department of Energy. Quote, the Genesis Mission marks a defining moment for the next era of American science. The Genesis Mission is described as a national effort to accelerate the application of AI for transformative scientific discovery focused on pressing challenges. So our country is dumping billions into this. So it's going to be in front of us. That's what I'm trying to say to us today, is like, this is not going away. This is in front. We're going to have to understand, how do we navigate this? More concretely, the Department of Energy has been ordered by our government to, quote, build an integrated AI platform to harness federal scientific data sets. They're trying to coalesce all the data sets of American government into one and have AI running it. That makes sense? This announcement comes just months after the Trump administration AI action plan, a comprehensive plan to win the global AI race. Is that good or bad? Can AI be used for good? Can AI be used for bad? How do we like, so I'm looking at the Lord, like, how do we navigate this, Lord? Because I fully don't understand it. I fully don't understand a computer system that can learn on its own. And there are ones where you can give it parameters, but because it can learn, what place can it break the parameters or not? And I don't even know what we're dealing with, because it's virtual reality in a sense, right? So how do you apply spiritual principles to virtual reality? It's a place pushing me, I think it's going to push theology into what you're not going to be able to read books from the past to help us navigate this. This is our generation's something to deal with, right? Like the printing press, people kind of likened it to that, or some other massive technological advances in society that push the church into, like, how do we use this? How do we not? So a little troubling article for me was this one recently. This is on 11/20. The popular Christian artist Forrest Frank came out warning fellow believers that the top-performing Christian artist on iTunes is AI. And so, expressing his concerns, Forrest Frank, who's a Christian artist himself, right, writing songs, says, here's my issue, is that AI does not have the Holy Spirit inside of it. I hate to even bring attention to this, but I want to tell you guys, know this is out there. I think it's important that we just pause a little bit and kind of ask the questions of, like, is this something that we want? He added, at a minimum, AI does not have the Holy Spirit inside of it, so I think that's really weird to be opening up your spirit to something that has no spirit. Be led in worship by the Holy Spirit by something that does not have the Spirit. I personally will not be listening to these songs, he says. So this is one guy's, it's just his opinion. The social media post states, Solomon Ray is no longer the AI experiment. He is now the biggest new voice in the gospel music period. Solomon Ray. So this Ray, which explicitly identifies the musician as an AI voice, well, indicating that the performer has taken on a persona as an African-American man from Mississippi. So the AI has taken on this persona called Solomon Ray. Includes a post identifying the artist placed at the top of the iTunes charts for both songs and album as the first for many AI artists of any genre. In the social media post, Solomon Ray is no longer AI experience. He is now the biggest new voice in gospel music, period. The future arrived faster than anyone expected, and his name is Solomon Ray. All this in under 21 days. As of Thursday afternoon, Find Your Rest and Goodbye Temptation still claim the top two spots on iTunes, top 40 Christian gospel songs. Created over just 3 weeks ago, October 28th, Ray's YouTube channel has over 12,000 subscribers and more than 1 million views. A total of 4 albums featuring songs compiled by Ray, including, quote, Faithful Soul, are available on YouTube. Ray is not to be confused with the rapper of the same name. Townsend responded to Frank's video on Wednesday with an Instagram video. Townsend is one of the guys who created Solomon Ray. So this is the human. He created AI artists. So the AI artist then picks its own persona and starts to, this is why I don't know where the human and the AI blends. Yeah, so this is just, so this is a little intro to our points. But yeah, so basically if you guys understand what's happening is you have over here, you have Forrest Frank, who's a Christian artist who writes his own songs and has done well. It's saying like, hey, let's just pump the brakes and ask a question. In the middle, you have Solomon Ray, who's the AI musician. And then over here you have Townsend, who is a real guy who created. Okay? This is what Townsend says in response to Frank. So you have a Christian here and a Christian. So this is a Christian debate. That make sense? You have Christian against Christian. So here's what Townsend says to Frank's video on Wednesday. He thanked Frank for his post and about opening a discussion about the use of AI in Christian music. Quote, nothing is morally or immorally right or wrong at this point, Townsend said. No one is putting out scripture to ban it. It is really more of a preference. You cannot tell somebody's feelings and impact from music if it's authentic or fake or fraudulent. Who am I to say what God will or won't use to get the message his people need to them? He added, I'm just here being an instrument, and this is an extension of my creativity. So therefore, to me, it's art. It's definitely inspired by a Christian. It may not be performed by one, but I'm not sure why that really matters in the end. Ray's success in the music industry comes at a time when AI is gaining broader acceptance in society. This is a Christian debate that I don't understand, because one guy is saying, like, what's the big deal? He could say he's quoting scripture, right? I become all things, all people, I may win the more. Yeah. But that one statement, nothing is morally or immorally right or wrong at this point with AI. That's a scary statement coming from debate in Christendom. A new poll released Wednesday of 1,500 likely voters between the ages of 18 and 39, conducted by the Heartland Institute, found that 41% of respondents have favor giving advanced AI system authority to control public policy making decisions. Do you know that there's already AI generated people in political offices around the world? There's at least two that I know of. They're already, like, I saw one video of the AI person addressing that country's Congress. Like I said, this is already out in front of us. Yeah, this is not going back into, yeah. Here's a great quote by Art Katz. Our worst evils are predicated on principles of righteousness for the Lord's sake. It's really what I felt when I read that guy's statement. Something's not morally or immorally right at this place. Hey, AI is here. A Christian artist invented him, so why just push it out? But here's one element of evil I don't think we think about, is evil is predicated on principles of righteousness for the Lord's sake. Hey, if the Lord can use AI to get one person saved, doesn't it therefore justify the risk we're taking? I don't think so. I think I agree with Forrest Frank, at least saying we need to pause and, like, yeah, consider, ask, seek the Lord, and really kind of question. I see. I mean, because on one level, if you start your journey in an unreality, how do you bring in them into reality? If you start in a manner that is outside, so can the Lord be over all things? Yes, absolutely, but does that justify, therefore, whatever we do? That's a scary process there, right? That's where I think you get into, they're predicated on principles of righteousness for the Lord's sake, but actually is working the wrong side. So here are some of sort of just bullet points, just to kind of, this is really, obviously, you guys understand, this isn't a sermon that is fine-tuned and done and we're done with today. This is really preempting us as we start praying and moving forward and opening our ears to the Lord and asking what he would have us do. So we're on the forefront here of saying, hey, Lord, here are some overall things, and then help us as we move forward into this, like I said, because it's already in front of us. So here are the things we came with that. Here's the danger of AI. AI blurs truth. AI also blurs reality. How do we as a people who imminently believe in reality deal with something that is blurred, real, unreal? I don't even know what to call it. It's not fictitious. An AI-generated song leads someone to Jesus. Like, we're crossing from, you know what I mean? From something that doesn't have a soul and a spirit impacting somebody. It's one thing that really bothered me about the churches playing the Charlie Kirk thing is one of the things they said was, like, what really moved people? And people were moved to tears. Well, now I'm thinking, like, well, aren't we emotionally manipulating people on a level now that is scary, right? And it blurs a lot of stuff. There are no regulations currently for AI. So what is moral and ethical? I think that's what kind of guy's point. Nothing's moral or immoral right now. Is it that easy? Because we don't have laws on it? Because we haven't talked about it? Is there something in us that says, like, one article is interesting. He says, hey, the human race is about ready to offload its most prized possession, which is the ability to think.
Exactly.
Yeah, because the one thing I think, right, AI doesn't have a moral or ethical center, right? So if it wants to survive, therefore, survival is the key for existence. So there is no built into it a moral or ethics that's based on being made in the image and likeness of God. So we're dealing with something that definitely is, like, it's another category I'm not even prepared for. So another question we ask is, like, well, how do we detect AI? You know, to what degree is something AI? Is it 80%, 100%, 70%, 50%? And so it's blurring lines. So here are the main concerns that come out from the men's R&R. There is a great loss of human interaction. AI has the ability to hinder people growing in the Holy Spirit discernment. You don't have to seek and listen. There's no time. You just ask a question and get an answer. It's a useful tool. This is now, the context is the church. It can be a useful tool, but for those who have developed a relationship with the Holy Spirit, there's a great concern for people who are just coming to know Christ, don't really have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, and offloading that to AI. AI seems to hinder discussions between people, right? You just ask, and it will tell you the answer. One of the problems with that is we started listening to guys' different stories they had is AI is not 100% accurate. At best, 90, sometimes 50, sometimes 60, right? Because if it starts to learn you, and is it programmed to give you the answer you want? Because AI also doesn't have, at the core of it, a love of the truth, that which is true and real, right? Potentially. We don't know. It's based on the parameters, who's setting the parameters, to what degree can it learn and overcome those parameters? And so that's where it's artificial reality. It's not unreal. It's artificial reality. There's also an element of, like, it becomes a false truth. Like I said, when asking AI what Charlie Kirk would say, that's now a false truth, right? It's taking clips of things he said and using his voice, but arranging them in a way that Charlie Kirk has nothing to do with. And so I still don't know, nobody knows where the video came from, because part of it is, like, it's a dishonor to Charlie Kirk, right? Because he's not dead. Hey, yeah, he got shot. He's now in eternity. He's not dead, though, church. Right? So we have to keep reminding ourselves of what's our reality. Our reality is, like, this life is, you know, temporary, and then we go to the next one. And if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you spend forever with him. And if you don't, you spend forever in the lake of fire. Right? Because this isn't, and so AI can't help us with that. And so people are asking it these kind of questions. You're blurring lines of divination, medium, and calling up the dead. So on your own time, read Deuteronomy 18, verses 9 through 14, because the Lord says, these things are an abomination to me. These nine things the nations do in the promised land that I don't like, don't touch them. And so I grew up in a church that says, don't worry about it. Like, magic's fake and sorcery's fake and you can't do it. I'm here to tell you, no, it's real. That's why the Lord says, don't do it. Kids, don't mess with sorcery. Don't mess with calling up the dead. Don't mess with magic. Don't mess with any of that stuff, because the Lord says it's an abomination to me. Yeah, it works. Fortune telling. So that we're kind of blurring that line, because now, is it a sin, Lord? Because it's fake intelligence that I'm asking. It's still wrong, though. Do you understand the propensity and the difficulty of that question? I'm not asking a demon to give me. I'm asking a computer model that's been made by man. And so the other question is, to what degree can spirits co-opt it? There's debate out there. I don't know. We've seen a video. I don't know. Is that video faked? Because one thing we come to the conclusion is, of the guys assembled, 83% believe we've crossed the line where you cannot trust a video or a picture. One guy abstained, and I think one guy thinks he can, so that's why he didn't vote. I think the younger generation is better at seeing AI fakes than older generation. But all that means is, like, today, and as Steve is saying, like, it's only getting better. So the fact that, so pretty soon, church, if you come to me and you're upset because you saw a video online, I'm going to have to look you in the face and say, like, I don't know that that's true. So you got to calm down and let's have a discussion here. Yeah. Or if you come into church and you're like, hey, we need to do this. I saw this video and I saw this picture, so we need to do this. Like that process for us is no longer a very healthy, valid process for us. Are you hearing my heart in this? Yeah. So we're going to have to be cautious. And I'm going to trust you. You're going to trust me. Just because you saw a YouTube video, if you start launching into and you start telling people, now you're moving into slander. If not accusation, because you, how do you know, have you fact-checked that it was true? This changes. It's funny, as now it's been never easier to find information. It's also never been harder to find out if the information is true. There's a line we crossed. I didn't know we crossed it, ultimately. Yeah. This is me kind of like in the moment being like, how do we do this, Lord? Because we're people predicated on following he who is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Is there any life in AI? No. Is there any truth in AI? No. Can that lead you to the way? No. So there's a place in the church where the church is embracing for means that are more cautious to me than good. Do I want people to be saved? Absolutely. Do I want all the tools used to people get saved? Sure. Is there a danger in using some tools that can actually bring greater danger into the church through it? I think there is. I think that we need to pause and be like, hey, here's the greatest detriment to me. AI counterfeits the Holy Spirit, and AI counterfeits fellowship. A story came out that Spencer told. A guy left his wife for his AI girlfriend. They got divorced. He left his wife. The AI girlfriend understood me better than my spouse. He created the AI girlfriend, and then, like I said, it's blown a door open. That is like Pandora's box of things. Like that never occurred to me that would possibly happen. That people would choose AI over reality. I would rather live in this, even knowing. I was like, yeah, man, that's what Brett was saying, right? Brett was saying that's the scary thing is if it learns you and just wants to give you what you want. And so if you're really depressed and if AI has been impacted by eugenics or impacted by, you know, people's right to kill themselves, which is out there. You look in Europe, like, you know, it's already mercy killings or whatever. You can ask for state-assisted suicide. So if AI becomes part of that. Okay, so that's the scary part, right? And so we want to sit with that for a little bit. We did. It's a scary part. Now, especially kids, you listen to this. In Genesis chapter 1, well, we'll go to chapter 2. When God first created man and woman, he put them in a garden. And there were a bunch of trees in the garden, but there were two that were named. So out of the ground, the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food. The tree of life is in its midst, the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And he warned them, he warned Adam and Eve, and he said, don't eat from one tree. What tree shouldn't they have eaten from? Tree of knowledge of good and evil. So what's the issue? Isn't good knowledge good? Shouldn't we want good knowledge? If it's a knowledge of good and evil, what was the Lord ultimately saying from the beginning? What's our ability to discern good and evil? Because at times the Lord warns us, you call evil good and you call good evil. Well, isn't affirmation good? Shouldn't we be speaking words of life to people? Yes, unless they're false. Then it's not a word of life. Then it's not good. So the Lord warned us, there is one tree you want to eat from. That's the tree of life. And so those trees are no longer available to us. And so what's available to us is Jesus Christ. Right? He was crucified on a tree. He became a curse for us and now lives forever, that we can come to him. What does he say? He says, come to me and eat my flesh and drink my blood, and I will give you life. That's communion, right? Spiritually speaking. So put your faith and trust in Jesus, right? Hey, we're already, this is just what it is. We're already in a world that none of us are prepared for. I'm already further in it than I ever knew. I had no idea that we'd have AI personalities running government offices. I didn't know that I'd have to concern myself with now, I'd have to fact check a gospel song I like because I really don't want to be AI-generated song. I want it to be from somebody who's worshiping the Lord and filled the Holy Spirit writing a song from that. So there are two trees, kids, and understand that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was very appealing and alluring, but it does not make you God. because God wants you to walk with him and know him. That's one thing AI is scary about, is it falsifies a true personal relationship with a living God, right? As if life is just about knowing questions and having knowledge and making right decisions. Life is so much more than that. It's about actual lived relationship with others and especially with the one true God who is over all. And then, secondly, this passage, we studied 2 Thessalonians 4, the men's R&R, because of this verse. 2 Thessalonians, as you will remember, talks about the man of lawlessness who is being held up at some place he'll be released. And when he's released, lots of bad things will happen. But here is the verse that Paul put in there, verse 10 of chapter 2. I'll skip it to verse 9. The lawless one is the one who is coming in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deceptions of wickedness for those who will perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, so have to be saved. And so I think AI is pushing into that. Do we have and have we received the love of the truth? Because that will guard you in ways, too, that you can't quantify. I have a feeling that the Holy Spirit will counteract in some ways, giving to those who love the truth a little nudge or something inside that, hey, what you're dealing with or what you're listening to or what you're reading isn't true. It may feel good. It may affirm you. But it has to be true, church, right? It has to be true. It has to be real. And so that's the growing prayer for us as a church is, Lord, help us to receive the love of the truth, right? The love of the truth. And lastly, I'll remind you of Daniel 2. None of this is taking the God unawares. None of this is surprising to the Father who sits on the throne. Jesus is not caught off guard at all. There are different empires in the world, right? And he's saying, hey, one day, this stone, this mountain that's cut without hands, it's just going to crush all of them. And so Daniel 2 is just the same answer that we need today. It's the same truth. Daniel had to work for a pagan empire. Daniel had to give his best to multiple kings. And yet he also got to hear Jesus saying, it's okay, Daniel, I have this. And the day is coming when my kingdom will be set up and all this stuff will be done away. And so I just want to admonish us, hey, church, that's who we serve. And so keep spending time with him, right? Nothing can prepare you more for what's coming than a personal relationship with Jesus that is maintained daily, right? Talking to him, letting him into your life, letting his word into your heart, hiding his word in your heart, worshiping him on your own, then using music. I guess I'm a little cautious now of how much music helps me worship. Can I worship and worship with music, right? Can I do both? Can I utter my own music through my vocal cords to him? And really pursuing as a body, what is real? What is true? And that's what we love. And that's what we're after. And so for our kids, hey, you're going to live in the world. You're not taken out of the world. So be in the world. But a couple things we talked about with AI is, on a practical note, I'll conclude with this. It's okay to ask, like, information gathering data. Yes. AI, when did Nebuchadnezzar live? AI, when in the script, where in the scripture is Moses talked about? Right? So something like that, informational. But open-ended or theological questions, don't ask AI. What must I do to be saved? Yeah. Hey, AI, I don't even want to go down, but yeah. So stick with like factual stuff or having it take you to places in scripture. It's a useful tool for that. It's really fascinating. Hey, you could be like, hey, AI, where does, in Paul's letters, it talk about boasting in the cross? Boom, right? There's no subjectivity to it. It's objective. What would Paul say to me if he was like, don't mess with that, right? You don't need to. You have access to the throne through Jesus Christ. So put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. At any place, anywhere you are, you can talk to him and you can get into his presence. That's the other concerning thing is it's easy answers rather than, hey, relationships take time. Relationships take effort. Relationships take putting yourself out there and receiving back in turn. Relationships take work in that sense. It's not hard, but you have to be diligent in it. Don't let something subjugate you from Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Spend time there. That makes sense? So I may bring up articles on occasions that they come up. Like I said, things are launching forward. Our government's putting lots of money into this. And at the same time, I want you to walk out of here concerned or scared because we know whom we serve. He has us. Put your faith and trust in him, Trust him with your kids. Trust him with your adults. Kids help adults, because you guys have access to your phones. This is something we need, the breadth of the body. Obviously, you know, myself, this is way beyond me, right? And so it's good to have CJ and Xander and Haven at the men's R&R talking to different groups too and putting their two cents in. So this is something that is kind of the breadth of the body, right? And so we're also, you know, using Daniel as an encouragement to us. Hey, Lord, give our kids wisdom like you gave Daniel and his friends. Because they're going to need greater wisdom than I needed when I was 15, right? A special, give them favor. Talk about that. Favor and compassion in the sight of those around them. But also, Lord, give them the wisdom to navigate. Yep. I think it's one of the tactics of the enemy, right? He'll give you a question in your head, and you try to chase the question. He's actually drawing you in. Remember what he did to Eve. So what happened at the first is the pattern, right? What he did to Eve was he just asked her a question. Did God really say? You shouldn't eat from, you know? Did he? And then as soon as you engage that's a no-win situation. So we're saying kind of avoid that. You get that thought in your head, say, you know what? Hey, Jesus, what would you have me do right now? And push into that. Let's pray. Lord, we find ourselves on the forefront of, I don't even know what it is, Lord. I'm not even sure how to do a lot of theological reflection on AI. Obviously, there's so much potential good and usefulness for mankind. And so, Lord, we ask that you would be over it and have mercy on us. And there's much ability for this to be misused and abused and detrimental. And so we ask for your hand of covering over that, Lord. And we know it's you who keep the lawless one in check. And so, Jesus, we ask for your covering over us, our families. And we ask that, Jesus, you'd give us wisdom and discernment and understanding. And, Lord, we're going to need dreams and visions to come more fully into the church for us to understand and discern these things. Because it's not about studying the scripture just alone. It's about really interacting with you, Lord, and having you nudge and lead and guide us in the supernatural ways. Because AI has no ability to match you in the supernatural world. And so, Lord, I pray for us to grow in our understanding of that and desire to be a people who love the gifts that you give and to prophecy and to speak in tongues, Lord, and that we can utter things that come from you and not that are generated and not that are falsified and not that are co-opted. And so we need to become a peculiar people, and we're asking you, Lord, and fill us. Lord, help us to love the tree of life. Help us to not seek knowledge for our own accord, but to seek you, and you bestow wisdom and you bestow knowledge on those who love you. Help us, Lord, if we delight ourselves in you, you'll give us the desire of our heart. You'll give us the knowledge of who you are. And we don't have to ask some app or something else, Lord. We can come right into your throne room. Jesus, help us to receive from you the love of the truth. Because Jesus, you are the truth. It's really loving you is loving truth and loving reality. And so we pray, Lord, just for your mercy and your grace and your covering over us. Thank you for this time, Lord, and we ask that you would continue to unfold and teach us as we move forward and how to be a church in the 21st century. And so we bless you and we praise you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.